The other day, a friend suggested I visit a place he'd accidentally discovered on his lunch break. He'd taken a left instead of a right and ended up on a bleak boulevard full of Indian sweet stores, CD video shops, a Hare Krishna center, and a pet dinette. "You've got to go," he urged me, "to the Museum of Jurassic Technology." Jurassic technology? I looked up Jurassic in my 1928 Book of Knowledge. It said, a slice of geologic time, 200 million years ago, when the first birds took to the air. Sounds old. Was there technology back then? A man playing an accordion stood in front of a nondescript storefront. Looming high above his head was a sign made of raised gold letters that looked like they were cast in another era. This must be the place. I opened the heavy metal door and walked in. The museum was full of glass cases, bathed in pools of blue light. My eyes instantly spotted a beautifully printed sign inside of an empty display. It read, "Zinc box used to hold sacrificial human heart, temporarily removed for study." I spun around and noticed a strange projectile on the wall above me. Horn grown on back of woman's head, from a Mary Davis of Sog Hall in Cheshire, 1688. Wait, this place is starting to sound like some kind of sideshow, and it's not. But just what kind of natural history repository is this?
The Museum of Jurassic Technology in Los Angeles, California, is an educational institution dedicated to the advancement of knowledge and the public appreciation of the Lower Jurassic.
An informative audiovisual presentation tells you all about the history of the museum and the ever-changing, rotating exhibits.
Walking through the museum, the visitor experiences, as it were, a walk back in time. The first exhibits encountered are the contemporary displays, and reaching the far end of the museum, the visitor is surrounded by the earliest exhibits.
I picked up the museum brochure on my way to the back exhibits and noticed a map of ancient Egypt, drawn with two arrows pointing to Upper and Lower Jurassic. This was confusing. I thought Jurassic had to do with time, not place. I looked around for a clue when I accidentally ran into a woman, totally mesmerized, in front of a diorama featuring the deep-pronged Maori bat from northern South America. "Quick, it's starting," she gasped, handing me one of the two telephone receivers hanging in front of the case.
Before you is an exhibit documenting the remarkable history of the scientific discovery of an equally remarkable creature, the Myotis lucifugus. The history of this discovery spans two centuries, involves what was for many years a highly controversial hypothesis, and intertwines the research of two very different scientists.
The story goes on, with spotlights in the case illuminating various artifacts from the study. Charts, models, and the scientist's actual notes and writing desk. Apparently, a bat penetrated the arm of a 5-year-old child, but the arm showed no wounds of any kind. Also, it was reported some natives saw 6 Maoris fly straight into and out of the dining room walls of a family residence, right in the middle of dinner.
The key idea in the Griffith hypothesis was that as the Myotis lucifugus emission increased in frequency, the emission actually crossed the threshold from the extreme ultraviolet into the X-ray, thereby allowing the bat to fly unharmed through solid objects.
I looked at the data inside the case and wondered, what really is fact, and what is truth, and what's the difference? I wandered over to another display. It housed 2 real-looking hands cradling a little bird. A microscopic-sized EKG machine clicked on the minute I approached and began monitoring the bird's heart rate on a tiny chart. Like a wax museum, this place has a life of its own. At night when it's closed, well, you never know what might happen. Now, I know this is crazy talk, especially because my dad was a scientist. I grew up in a strictly scientific household. It's got to be 100% accurate. There's no room for subjectivity, was Dad's motto. This place would make him nuts. It looks and feels so much like science, but the exhibits are definitely operating on more than the normal diorama realm of show and tell. There are lots of other things to see and hear. Displays on protective auditory mimicry, an exact scale-down model of Noah's Ark, a huge haunting scientific illustration of an Iroquois Indian fetish that was a head whose eyes sometimes look open and sometimes closed, and a catoptric camera attached to a terrarium inviting me into a wolf's head with a videotape of a man barking inside the wolf's mind. Where are the regular exhibits, the ones that show you how fire was discovered, why a frog croaks, or the origins of aluminum foil. This place is like a slip on a banana peel onto the flip side of science. I almost feel like just trying to describe the museum might make the whole place disappear. All I can tell you is, when I left and went next door to the Indian sweet shop for a hot samosa and mango milkshake, I felt transformed and blessed. I'd gotten the chance to eke through a crack in space and time and made it out, all in one piece. I was elated that another world existed right next door to the one I've always felt a little limited by.
Although the path has not always been smooth, over the years the Museum of Jurassic Technology has adapted and evolved until today it stands in a unique position among the institutions in the country. A spirit which has been described as incongruity born of the overzealous spirit in the face of unfathomable phenomena.